access to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
But in Ephesians 2, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, that wall's been broken down by Christ. That middle wall of division, that separation. And if they only looked at their scriptures, they would see that God never closed the door to the Gentiles. In fact, the Jews were to be a light to the Gentiles. In Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her. By the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." You see, God didn't close them out. And for Peter, he was now going to be that bridge to help open the door to the Gentiles. And what was common, that which was unclean, is now going to be clean for the Jews. Yes, food was no longer an issue for them. But this went far beyond the food that Peter could eat. And if he was struggling with the food, then how in the world would he be able to minister to people, the Gentiles? Think about that. If the food was a big issue, Gentiles were even a bigger issue to him. And we may not, you know, really see this as a big deal, but it was for the Jews. In fact, even after this, Peter struggled with the issue of Gentiles being brought together with Jews in the family of God. He had some issues. Turn over to Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, we're going to pick up in verse 11. And listen to what happened. Listen to what Paul had to do. We're told, "But when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him," or opposed him to his face, "because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, 'If you, being a Jew, live in a manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified.'" Isn't that interesting? You know, Peter still struggled with this issue. He was fine when it was just Gentiles. He could eat with them. But also, what happened when Jews came? "Oh, now I'm going to eat with the Jews. I'm not going to eat with those guys over there." And Paul rebuked them. You know what happened today? "Paul, you are so unloving." Right? No. Paul, right to his face and in front of everyone. Why? Because Peter's actions had affected the other Jews, the other believers, and they too had separated themselves from the Gentiles. Can you imagine being a Gentile there? It's like you had cooties. No one wanted to eat with you anymore. That's not good. And I guess for us, you know, we can look at what happened with Peter and, you know, come against him. But in a sense, who are we refusing to eat with? And I guess, you know, tear down the walls that you've built up and let the love of God be the driving force in your life. Don't say, "Not so, Lord." That's not a good thing. Look at verse 17. We're told, "Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." You know, for Peter, he wasn't fully sure of what the vision fully meant. And as he's pondering these things, all of a sudden, just happened to be, these men from Cornelius arrive at Simon the Tanner's house, and they're looking for Peter. And Peter's going to fully understand in a few minutes here what God was saying, and he's going to put into practice those things he was shown. And again, this was a big deal for Peter, and for any Jew for that matter, to come in contact with a Gentile. Here's the thing. Every place that a Gentile would sit would be considered unclean. That meant if you would sit in the chair where Gentiles sat, you would be unclean. And the ceremonial uncleanness could be transmitted by them touching you or by touching something that a Gentile came in contact with. It was a big deal for Peter. Now, okay, for me, I'm really thankful I didn't live in those days, because being a Gentile, you know what I would do? Touching them all. That's just me. Pray for me. But it's a big deal. And, you know, I love what the Lord does here. He doesn't just leave Peter hanging here. This is all orchestrated and the timing is perfect. And he tells Peter, "Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." The Lord, I think, knew exactly what Peter would be thinking as he saw these three Gentile men. And he's saying to Peter, "Hey, go with them, man. Don't stop. You may not fully understand everything, but you need to go with them. And I'll show you what you need to do." And again, that's a great lesson for us, that when the Lord tells us to arise, to go, and not to doubt, we need to heed what he's telling us. You know, the devil has this double-edged sword of doubt and discouragement. And you know what it causes us to do? It causes us to stop, to drop out, to quit. And why are we listening to him instead of the Lord? Doubt and discouragement are huge. That's why I think it's so important to be in the Word, to be in prayer, to be in fellowship with the Lord, and to be around other Christians. You know why? Because they stir you up, the love and good works. They spur you to go on. They encourage you. And that's important. And I think, you know, turn over to Joshua for a minute, Joshua chapter 1. I mean, think about Joshua. You know, Moses had the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness, right? And I think it was like a 7-mile journey or so to the promised land from Mount Sinai. It was a short distance. Didn't have to go real far. It took them 40 years, okay? And Moses is gone, and now Joshua's going to lead them. I'm sure Joshua's thinking, "Oh man, I hope this isn't another 40 years, right?" And in Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 5, the Lord told Joshua, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Do you think that Joshua had a little doubt, that he was a little fearful? I think so. The Lord kept saying, "Be strong, be courageous." And I love that about the Lord. He was encouraging Joshua in the work. And we need to listen to what the Lord is saying. You know, I think it's easy to get distracted. I think it's easy to become fearful, to drop out. And I think that's why the scriptures are so important to us, because the Lord will encourage us as we're reading them. I don't care what book of the Bible you're in, the Lord will speak to you wherever you are at. And he will give you the words you need to hear. You know, again, Joshua was, I know he was fearful, because the Lord said, "Don't be afraid. Be strong. Be very courageous." Not even courageous, but very courageous, man. "I'm giving you this land." But, no buts. "I am giving you this land." So now you need to take the step of faith. And what about us? What has God called us to do? We need to take those steps of faith. It's not always easy, is it? It's not. I mean, because there is that doubt and discouragement. We know our frailties. We know our weaknesses. How could I do this? I can't. And the Lord said, I never said that you were going to do it on your own. I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to be with you. Hang in there. Go forward. Don't give up. And for Peter, this was a tough thing because other Jews were going to look at him and what he was doing. But I'll tell you what, it didn't stop him here. He's going to go to the house of Cornelius, as we'll see. Look here again in Acts chapter 10, verse 21. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Then he invited them in and lodged them. And the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Now, the Lord told Peter, "Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." And Peter does exactly what the Lord told him to do. And again, the wall of Jewish tradition and customs came tumbling down because Peter not only speaks to these Gentiles, he invites them in, he entertains them, has fellowship with them, cares for them. And then he's going to go to the house of Cornelius. And, you know, Boyce kind of sums it up. He says this, "Normally a Jew would have said, well, it's nice to meet you, but you need to stay out here in the street. You can't come inside. Or he might have said, if you go down the street a little way, I think you'll find an inn where you can stay. No Orthodox Jew would have invited Gentiles into his house. He would not have sat down at the same table with them. He would not have had fellowship with them. It was forbidden." This was a big deal for Peter. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, because Paul hits on this, you know, this wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. And we're going to pick up in verse 11 and just listen carefully to what Paul is talking about here. He said, "Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been made near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of division between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit." That middle wall of separation, the Gentiles could go only so far into the temple area. And there were signs put up that if they went any further, they took their lives in their own hands. If they went into too far in, past the court of the Gentiles, they could be put to death. Paul's saying that middle wall of separation, that middle wall of division has been torn down by who? By Jesus Christ. You see, the commandments kept Jew and Gentile apart. But that's been taken out of the way by the cross. And now Jew and Gentile can come together in Christ. What a beautiful picture that God has painted for us. And that's what Peter is doing here. He's breaking down those walls of division. And again, you know, are there areas in your life where God is stretching you? I hope so, because we all need that, don't we? I mean, That is one of the things I really hate to do is stretch. I can run. I'm okay with running. But stretching, I don't like it at all. But I'll tell you what, you really need to do it. And that's what God does with us. And you know how we get comfortable? We're kind of in that comfort zone. I feel really good now. I'm okay. And God goes, okay, I'm making your comfort zone a little bigger. Oh, I'm not comfortable here. Exactly. Now I want to stretch you. I want you to grow a little bit more. And it's amazing how God does that and stretches us and helps us to trust more and more in Him. And again, that's what the Lord's doing with Peter here. And what I also like here, in verse 23, it says, some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Other Jews went with Peter. Wow. You know, Peter maybe influenced them. I don't know. It's very possible. And what a witness to these Gentiles. Not only is Peter, who's a Jew, coming to them, but look, he brought other Jews with them. Part of the family of God. I like that. And I'll tell you this. Are we influencing other Christians by the way we live out our faith? I'm talking about in a good way. I'm not talking about in a bad way. Are we influencing them? Helping them to grow? Because our witness not only affects, you know, the unsaved, but I believe it also affects the saved. They see us live out our faith. They see the joy we have in the Lord. They see what God is doing, and they want to do it. And it spurs them on and encourages them. Well, verse 24 here in Acts 10 says this. And the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. Now, again, Cornelius is not saved at this point. The Lord tells him to send for Peter at Joppa, and he's waiting for Peter. And I don't know, man, this guy, his faith is unbelievable. I think Cornelius expected something great to happen. Why do I say that? Because he's inviting relatives and close friends to come and hear Peter. Well, that's pretty incredible, huh? Talk about the faith of this guy. I want to talk with Cornelius when I get into heaven. You know, what were you thinking, man? You're inviting family and friends to hear Peter. You don't even know the guy. But he knew what the Lord said through the angel, and he obeyed. And I think that's, you know, an important lesson also for us. Do we expect things like that from God? Because we should. We should be excited to hear what not only God is going to speak to us, but are we inviting others to hear what God is saying? We should. Because God does great things. And Cornelius, again, he's not saved. He sees Peter, and what does he do? He falls down on the ground to worship this man of God. And what does Peter do? You can kiss my ring, Cornelius, right? No, it doesn't say that, does it? Not at all. He says, stand up. I myself am also a man. Peter did not want to be treated as a god or something, someone special. Not at all. Remember when John, in Revelation 19, sees this angel and angels speaking to him, and it says, and I fell at his feet to worship him. This is an angel now. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You see, we're not to worship anyone or anything except God, period. I don't know if you've ever seen the statue by Michelangelo or of Peter at St. Peter's Basilica, but it's kind of a sad and it's interesting because so many people have come to worship before the statue and they kiss the foot of Peter that his right foot is missing now. It's been eroded away. Wow. How sad. Peter didn't allow that kind of worship back then, and he surely doesn't want it today, right? I think we need to be careful of those things. You know, God is pretty clear on that. In fact, Pastor Chuck Smith put it like this. He said, refusing to receive the adulation of the worship of this man, herein is a real problem. When a person has been used of God, a person has been gifted by the Holy Spirit, and has been an instrument through which God has brought help, blessing, sometimes healing to a person, it is very common for people to begin to hold that person in high regard, to sort of elevate them in their minds above others, thinking that they are closer to God, thinking that they have some special inroads to God. They sort of hold them in reverence and adulation. In fact, sometimes they even start calling them reverend, or they start calling them the most reverend, or the most right reverend. They start adding titles to the titles as they are elevating the individual. Now, the danger is when the individual begins to receive the adulation and tries to stand on the pedestal that they are building for him. Peter was always careful, as were the apostles, as not to allow people to hold them up on a pedestal, elevate them and exalt them above the others. Peter didn't say, "Kiss my ring, man," if he were the first pope, but he said, "Stand up, I am just a man." Exactly. We need to be careful. You know, we have the honor, the privilege of serving Almighty God. But apart from Him, we can't do anything. Oh, we can have programs and different things, but we can't do anything that God will honor. And it's all about Him. It's all about Jesus. He's God, and we worship Him. Well, look at verse 27. "And as He talked with him, He went in and found many who had come together. And then He said to them, 'You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or to go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me?'" You know, Peter goes into the house of Cornelius, a Gentile. An amazing thing. That which was common, that which was unclean. And the reason he did is because he didn't doubt what God told him to do. He was going to do the work that God had sent him for. And, you know, we focus a lot on the conversion of Cornelius and his family, but man, what a transformation by Peter. You know, a Jewish man would begin each day with a prayer thanking God that he wasn't born a slave, a Gentile, or a woman. Wow. So, what a transformation, right? God wasn't only working in Cornelius' life, but Peter's. And this was not an easy thing. This is how he was brought up all his life. And all of a sudden, God comes in and changes everything. Wow. And again, you know, has God called you to do something that may not be easy? It's going to stretch you. And you don't want to. You're kind of refusing to rise and go. But what a great lesson from Peter here. And there's fruit as you serve the Lord, as you're obedient to what He's called you to do. And I love his question to Cornelius. You know, Peter doesn't beat around the bush. He says, "What reason have you sent for me? Why am I here? Tell me." Look at verse 30. "And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. I said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God.'" Wow. Wouldn't that be awesome? You know, tell me, Joe, about God. Really? And you don't get that too often, do you, today? Not too often. But Cornelius just explains to Peter all that happened. He was praying to God. You know, he wanted to know God. And I think he just wanted to have a deeper relationship with God, something the Jewish faith did not give him the ability to do. And as he prayed, God answered. And like we read, you know, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." If you're seeking after the true and living God, there is no doubt he will reveal himself to you. And, you know, Cornelius tells Peter, "Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." They wanted to know more. And I'm sure Peter, man, he's got a house filled with people that are interested in this Jesus. You know, for me as a pastor, I can't tell you how blessed it is to come and share God's word with people that are hungry to know God. But many times what can happen in our lives is we become so familiar with God that zeal we once had that zeal to study God's word, that zeal to hear God's word being taught is gone. And then our zeal to tell others about God also goes away. You know, Boyce said this. He said, when you go to church, do you want to receive a good message? If so, the best way is to come with a prepared heart. I know that the preacher must be prepared too. But when God prepares the messenger, as well as those who are to hear him, then tremendous things happen. And that's absolutely true. I mean, every time we hear God's word, we should be like, Lord, what do you have for me? Be ready to receive. He's got something for you.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us? As we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.